It's the Kim Monson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas, and it takes work to engage in these conversations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, and it's not.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to make rules about what we inject into our body.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Monson Show. I am Kim Monson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Monson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests as well as our most recent podcast, our most recent op-eds, and then those go over to the website as well. And there's just a lot of great information there. I so appreciate you joining us today. Certainly it was a dark day in the history of America yesterday with the vote to impeach President Trump. So I really appreciate you being here. As you know, we search for truth, and that's with a capital T, truth and clarity. And we work to help you get your brain around these issues so that you can engage in the battle of ideas that is certainly raging in America today. We knew it was there. The mask is off. It's been unmasked. It's been unveiled. And that is something to be grateful for. Yesterday, certainly, the mask came off on many people regarding their votes on impeaching President Trump. But my friends, today, live with intention. You were made for this time. You are here for a reason. And strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And you each have a purpose. And we've got a lot of work to do. Also, I get to work with a lot of really wonderful people. And that is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Producer Steve, it's just astonishing. It's almost surreal what is going on in our country right now.
We, there are no words. We know of Custer's last stand. Maybe yesterday was the Rhino's last stand.
I think so. I actually, I know a young millennial that sent a very good email to her representative regarding this. And once again, I'm really grateful that we are seeing the character of people because typically that's been hidden in politics. And so, my friends, I guess in all of this, that is something to be grateful for. We've got a really great show planned for you today. Dr. Jill Vecchio will be with us on second segment. And I double booked. I was with some women yesterday, and one of them had been to Washington, D.C., had actually gone over to the Capitol, had gotten tear gassed. And I'm like, I got to get you on the show. And I was hoping I'd get her on today. I'm hoping now that I can get her on tomorrow because what they are accusing the president of, Steve, you had the actual charges. And hopefully you understand impeachment doesn't mean conviction. The way the Constitution is set up, the House of Representatives basically accuse the president of something. And in America, you can accuse anybody of anything, which is kind of apparent yesterday from what we saw. The actual charges, Steve, you said were, what, inciting an insurrection? Is that right?
Yes, inciting insurrection. And, you know, in our little pre-call, pre-chat, I've listened to his comments that day. Many other people have listened to it, put it under a microscope, and we just don't see it.
Right. And so what would really be troubling is, first of all, this happened so quickly. I mean, it was within one day, a total of 7 hours. It should make all of us stop and say that we want representatives that are actually wanting to uphold the Constitution and are searching for truth. And the other idea, so let's see, we're in the 14th, the inauguration is on the 20th. 6 days, you have to wonder why. Why are they so bent on destroying or trying to destroy this man and all those around him and all those that voted for him? it really should cause us to just stop and say, wait a minute. And there will be those people that we have a brainwashing that has occurred in our country with the mainstream media. I've talked to people and they've said, I've talked to this friend or this family member, and they're just like off the rails. That is not the majority of the people in America. It looks like Donald Trump probably got around 80 million votes. And then there are people that voted for Joe Biden that now say, oh my gosh, if I knew the whole connection with China and Hunter and his laptop and what was on there, I would not have voted for him. And so, my friends, we need to be focusing with all of them and engaging in this battle of ideas and bringing truth to them. And you look at that, that becomes a big percentage of Americans, Steve.
You know what you just said, that group of people who say, well, if I had known, I would have voted. That brings me no comfort whatsoever, because I want to jump right back in their face and say, how could you not know? It was there. If you would just seek it, it's there.
If you would just listen to the Kim Munson Show every day.
Well, okay, yeah, there you go. And there's a little shameless self-promotion. But it's all about controlling a narrative. And it doesn't matter what truth is in that narrative. Like you've just observed, you just noted how fierce the other side is right now at saying, oh, Trump, you might as well say that, try to quote him and saying, he told them to go to the Capitol and raise hell. Well, he didn't. And just like all last year, all we heard was what he said in that conversation with the Ukrainian president.
And it wasn't true.
It wasn't true. But they still were able to make it a narrative and drive it down our throats.
Well, we do still need to engage in this, because there is a big percentage of people that are starting to pay attention. And just an anecdotal story, I have somebody that's in my life that looked me straight in the eye and said, I hate DT. And I was just taken back. This person has been in my life for many, many years. And the company that this person works with is having significant financial challenges now, because a lot of it is due to COVID. A year ago at this time, my friends, unemployment across all the spectrums, black unemployment, women unemployment, the number was at all-time lows. The economy was thriving and prospering. I've talked to many small business people that said they were on track for their best year ever. And when we look at what has happened with the government reaction to this COVID disruption, and you want to make sure that you stay tuned for the whole show, because Dr. Jill, she's on fire. and then Carl Dierenbach has done this deep dive into the CDC data, which that is what they are using to push for their narrative to close down these businesses. And I'm just thinking of this person in my life. It's like your hatred has blinded you to what is happening. And this government policy may actually take away your livelihood. I think that should cause people to kind of stop in their tracks. Steve, you mentioned one other thing that is deeply troubling, and that is, you mentioned AOC has come out with a new department of what, truth, you said?
Believe it or not, you know, she had a press conference that she live streams on Instagram, and the writer, this is from the New York Post, the writer says, we all know that AOC has been a wellspring of truly terrible ideas for years, but her latest one might be her worst yet, a ministry of truth. So she was asked by a viewer, I guess, on the live stream, if this is to help with national healing, was there anything that the congressional plans to institute any truth and reconciliation of media literacy initiatives, is what they said. Her response says, indeed, and she and some of her colleagues have been exploring media literacy initiatives to help, get this, help rein in the press and combat misinformation after last week's riots at the U.S. Capitol. Now, that comment, rein in the press, for crying out loud, they've been carrying your water, Democratic leftist water, now pretty solidly for the last 4 or 5 years. So her last comment was, it's one thing to have differentiating opinions, but it is another thing entirely to just say things that are false. So that's something we're looking into. So again, a ministry of truth. Keep your eye on that one.
I do agree with her that we need to look into people that are not telling the truth. But I have a feeling that she and I look at that rather differently.
What did I say in the past when New Age... That's not the term I'm looking for. Postmodernism.
Yeah, there you go.
And that whole thing that they have on truth. And the next question that has to be asked is, well, whose truth? Your truth or mine?
Well, it goes back to Pilate. And this was a question that I'd asked Elizabeth Eastman when we had done that show on the great books. And that's Pilate, when Jesus is on trial and Pilate says, what is truth? And people have said inflection can mean something. So what is truth? Or what is truth? There's different, but what is truth? That is the question that we all seek towards. And here on the show, we search for truth and clarity. And my friends, there is truth. This whole postmodernism of you have your truth, I have my truth. That's how we've gotten into the situation that we're in. And so we need to search for truth, search for clarity, and then engage in the battle of ideas. I thought today, though, Steve, for our quote, and just going back, if you're new to the show, we look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And ultimately, socialism comes down to force. If something is a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do that. But I thought we needed something upbeat. And Jimmy Valvano, I find him very upbeat. He was an American college basketball player, coach, and broadcaster. He had an excellent coaching career with multiple schools, most notably at North Carolina State University. And while the head coach at North Carolina State, his team won the 1983 national title against improbable odds. He was born in 1946, and he died early. He died in 1993, but his positive attitude really is defining of his life. He said, in every single day, in every walk of life, ordinary people do extraordinary things. Ordinary people accomplish extraordinary things. I thought, Steve, that was very appropriate for what we ordinary people, ordinary Americans, are facing today. And I think we should take great heart from that. Your quick comment on that, and we'll go to break here in just a minute.
Does the name Lenny Skelnick ring a bell with you?
It should, but
after listening to your quote, the very first thing that jumped in my mind was Lenny Skelnick. He was the gentleman, he was stalled in traffic on the bridge in Washington, D.C. when the Air Florida failed takeoff and the plane hit the bridge and went right into the river. He was the one who dove in and started saving people. So, yes, ordinary people do extraordinary things.
He got up that morning and he had no idea that was what he was going to do. So we're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, I get to work with a lot of great people and a lot of great sponsors, and Hooters Restaurants is one of those. The Lone Tree location is open for dine-in at limited capacity. They have to-go delivery and curbside pickup. And then Westminster, Aurora, Loveland, and their Colorado Springs locations have patio dining. It's nice and toasty there. And they have specials. I had some of their fabulous wings last night. Wednesdays are Wings Day. They have all kinds of specials. Go to HootersColorado.com. For more information, that's HootersColorado.com. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Dr. Jill Vecchio. And she's on fire, and so stay tuned.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lauren Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. There's all kinds of great information there. All of our past shows are there with our podcast. Just click on the picture and it'll bring everything up because we have amazing guests, amazing subject matter to hopefully help you get your brain around these issues. On the line with me is my good friend, Dr. Jill Vecchio. And Dr. Jill, with what is going on, you are on fire. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning, Kim. Well, yes, I can start out this whole impeachment thing. 2 hours of discussion to impeach a president. They don't wait for the results of any investigations on what really happened at the Capitol, because if they did, then they wouldn't have any grounds for impeachment. This is amazing. And if they're going to do this to the president of the United States, just think what they're going to do to the average person. If they're unloading an entire plane load of passengers on a United flight for singing the national anthem. Every Delta and American have done similar things. This is truly out of control, and they're showing us what we can expect with the next administration. One of the things that's striking me, and I would encourage people to listen to our podcast, it's episode 58 and episode 60 that you and I did. The first one was how COVID has been politicized instantly and used to control the people. The next one was episode 60 was about the corruption in our political system and the fact that really they don't care about us as individuals. They are only there for their own enrichment. And they have to keep us quiet, divided, and at each other's throats so that we don't notice what they're doing. Or we're so polarized in how we interpret what they're doing when they are actually Democrats and Republicans are corrupt and working together for their own enrichment.
And people can find that at the website.
Yes.
At kimmunson.com. Yes.
Yes. And pass it on. If you like that content, pass it on. I've passed it on to some friends, and they said it was actually really helpful kind of tying a whole bunch of things together. Sometimes it really helps to just see the big picture, and you kind of go, oh, then the light bulb goes off going, now I get it. Mm-hmm. Now I get to play. I think that's what was so threatening about the Trump movement. They're so interested in having us separated. It's like divide and conquer. They want us at each other's throats. They pit us against each other through media, social media, political comments. It's absolutely ridiculous. What's truth? Where's truth? Who's truth? Just like you were saying. I think what scared them, what frightens them the most about the Trump movement is that people from all different walks of life, all different heritages, all different identity groups, we're in that Trump movement. That scared them to death, mm-hmm. because that means that we were waking up and that we could join forces. You remember when we did when we set up the radio show Heart of the Matter with the AmeriChicks, you and me and Molly?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One of the things that our main goal was to have a radio show where we could just talk about, we could investigate, find out what the truth is about things that we're hearing about, put things into the context of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and say, this is what your rights are. This is how they've been violated. Now, you know, let's talk to each other in a civil manner about what we can agree on, because we're going to find that we agree, left, right, whatever identity label you've been assigned, right? Because you've been assigned identity labels. You didn't come up with those yourself. You were assigned them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when we talk to each other in very basic terms, what do you believe? What do you want for your kids? You know, what are your goals in life? What kind of opportunities do you want your children to have to choose for themselves what they do? You're going to find that 80 or 90% of us agree on all of the very basic core values if you separate out the things that divide everybody, you're going to find that we agree on a whole lot. And that scares the heck out of them. And that's what the Trump movement was.
And I don't want to say Trump movement was, because I think that people are awake. I know that people are awake and they are concerned. And the question is, what do we do? And first of all, we need to understand what is going on, which that's really something we're going to be bumping up against time again. So we're going to be recording this podcast this week tomorrow. So we'll tease that just a little bit. But you had mentioned the Hunger Games. We've got about 3 minutes. Is that something you can bite off right now?
Not yet. I will talk about that on the podcast, but I do want to tease it because what we're talking about today is exactly what I'm going to go into in more depth. And again, put together the whole picture so people kind of open their eyes and say, yeah, hey, whoa, wow, I am being manipulated. Hold on. I got to take control of my own thoughts for a change and understand my constitutional rights, that sort of thing. And when I say was the Trump movement, I think what we need to do is move on from the Trump movement to the American movement, the constitutional movement, rather than depending on a single person, like we said. And believe me, I'm still optimistic. Call me crazy. I'm grasping onto any hope I have, just so I don't slash my wrist. So I think honestly, because. One thing, I'll give people an assignment. Research the Great Reset. It is real. It exists. This is their plan. Because all the stuff that I'm talking about and leading up to is to introduce people to this Great Reset, their plan. So you can look it up online. It's a real thing. It's like an actual set of documents. It's Agenda 21 reiterated. And then watch The Hunger Games. Watch at least the first episode, the first installment, the first movie. Watch The Hunger Games. And that is exactly what we're dealing with right now, in my opinion.
Okay, so Jill, regarding the Great Reset, I know a lot of people have not heard of it. And it used to be, if you said Agenda 21, they tried to paint people that were concerned about that as tin hat kind of folks.
And isn't that smart? Because then nobody will read it.
Right, right. But I had Dr. Michael Rechtenwald on Monday, and he is a former NYU professor, and he's doing an excellent set of essays at Mises.org on that. But also, Patty found the actual The Great Reset COVID-19, and now I can't remember the guy's name. It's like Klaus Schwab or somebody.
Yeah, Klaus Schwab.
Yeah, he's the guy behind it. And so I printed it off. It's 213 pages. And this is coming out of Davos, out of the World Economic Forum. And everyday Americans do not do well under this. And, you know, you have to ask the big question, Dr. Jill, if everybody in the world was just happy with living in poverty and just having to work to get the basics, food and water and clothing, why is it that they are all, you know, we have so many people that want to come to America and the dream, the American dream, where everyday people can thrive and prosper. And the Great Reset is based on reduced expectations. Tell me, is that how people want to live, is reduced expectations? And I've got one other question for you before we get over here to Jason McBride, Dr. Jill. They also have, so COVID-19 was just a really, and it's a real thing. And we know there's great heartbreak. There are people that we know that we care about that have had it. Most everybody has recovered. I have heard of people that have passed on within the sphere of people that I know. And so, yes, there is something there. There is COVID. But the reaction to this has decimated many. Let me not say that. It has decimated maybe businesses. And so on the Great Reset, they've said that, oh, this will be great because they've seen this as we can now insert the word climate change and or their concern with that. And I was thinking about it if and also there's talk of reducing population across the globe. And I need to read this Great Reset. I have another friend that I said something and she challenged me on it. It's like, okay, I actually need to make sure I know and have read exactly what it says. But my point here is if in fact we are not really concerned about the next generation and what we're passing on to them, that it's all, we want to take care of the planet. Well, if there's no human beings, so what if the planet is hitting whatever their benchmarks are? I know that's kind of an out there subjective question. Maybe we should just tease that and have that be part of the podcast. What's your quick comment on that, Jill?
The quick comment is the Great Reset cannot happen. Agenda 21 could not happen. The global world socialism, which is what it is, they're going for world socialism, cannot happen until they destroy the economy of the United States. Understand that, period. That's it. George Soros, you can look George Soros interviews. He talks about it right out there in front of his, as my dad would say, God and everybody. So that's their ultimate purpose, is to destroy America. Understand that under socialism, if you want this equality, if you kids out there think that equality is such a wonderful thing to which to aspire, then you gotta understand that in order to have equality, you have to go down to the lowest common denominator. Then you can maybe be equal. And think how low that common denominator is going to have to be if you want world socialism. If there was equality in everything was such a good thing, then why do we think Michael Jackson? Why do we all watch Michael Jordan?
Michael Jordan.
Yeah. Well, even Michael Jackson was extraordinary in what he could do.
In his talent.
You wouldn't be allowed to be exceptional. You're not allowed because you have to fit in. And that's the Chinese Communist Party. Every Communist Party is like, you're not allowed to have your own voice. You're not allowed to think your own thoughts because that's the only way they can control you. And we're not meant to live that way.
No, we're not. And that brings up AOC and her Ministry of Truth, which they're tapping down what people think, what they say. Dr. Jill, we're just going to do a great teaser. We're going to record this tomorrow. It will roll out on the newsletter this weekend, and it'll be on the website. So that's our teaser. Dr. Jill Vecchio, thank you so much, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, great. Take care, everybody.
Okay. Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. It is a sobering day with all that is going on. Jill just talked about the U.S. economy, and the U.S. economy has created wealth for everyday people, which that is something that you help people preserve that, plan for the future. What's the future saying, Jason McBride?
Well, today it looks like, at least at the open, the market will be up a little bit. Yesterday was a fairly quiet day where the indexes didn't really move very much, Kim, so that it seems like it's unusual these days when you don't get a bunch of volatility. It's interesting, Jill talked about a lot of things, and you said that that the U.S. has created wealth for many people. The U.S. economy has created wealth pretty much for the entire world when you think about it.
Well, it has. And one has to ask why these global socialists that she's talking about would want to destroy that. It seems that people would want other people to thrive and prosper. And so we're in remarkable times, Jason. I know these are big thoughts, but these are big conversations that we're having. But I would recommend that people sit down with you and come up with a plan. And then we talked about tweaking. There's a difference between tweaking and watching it, but a good plan with what is known out there is super important right now, because there's a lot of unknowns out there, Jason.
Well, there certainly are, and maybe things will settle down a little bit, maybe they won't. Hopefully in your plan you've got some preparation for the unknowns before they happen, because being reactionary oftentimes when things are crazy can lead to poor decisions. And a lot of times having a good plan in place that you understand and that you participated in creating will kind of help to keep you a little bit calm through the uncertain and frightening times as well, Kim.
Well, that's a good idea. People can reach you, Jason, at 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600. Jason, every 24 hours, there's something new. I will talk to you tomorrow, and we'll see what's going on then.
All right. Have a great show, Kim.
Thank you so much. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Carl Dierenbach has been doing a deep dive in all of this CDC data. And he said that actually the reaction has caused probably as many deaths as what they're attributing to COVID. It's really important that we search for truth on these numbers. I can't wait to talk with Carl Dierenbach. We'll be right back.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. We'll be rolling out this podcast that we were teasing you about with Dr. Jill Vecchio. And then those go over and live on the website as well. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And just thrilled to have this guest back with me. Carl Dierenbach is an engineer turned attorney living outside Denver, Colorado. He's a contributor to the book Unmasked 2020, Colorado's Radical Left Turn and a Warning to America. And he's also a member of RationalGround.com, a group dedicated to gathering, analyzing, and disseminating information on COVID-19. And he had a piece recently in The Federalist that says CDC data suggests lockdowns could be killing as many as COVID. And then he's done a really deep dive into this CDC data. Carl Dierenbach, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. Glad to be here.
Good to have you. First of all, I'd recommend that people get the book Unmasked 2020. I think there's 15 contributing authors on different subjects there, and it was co-edited by former State Senator Kevin Lundberg and Charles Heatherly. And your chapter is a very important chapter, but this headline from The Federalist that CDC data suggests lockdowns could be killing as many as COVID. How did you come to that conclusion, Carl?
Well, actually, I can reach that conclusion by four different ways of looking at the data that all sort of come together and give me about the same result. The first thing is, you look at the CDC and how they have categorized and treated COVID, and they've treated it differently than any other disease in history. They will attribute it very quickly. Any mention of COVID on a death certificate, no matter where it is, whether it's the main cause or just the contributing factor, the CDC considers it a COVID death, which we've never done before, so it automatically inflates the numbers. And then you can look at individual ailments outside of COVID, like Alzheimer's or kidney disease or diabetes or liver disease, and all these diseases are up above their normal numbers that you would expect to see. And so that's a source of the excess deaths that are being attributed to COVID. And then you can even look at flu a few years ago and say, if we treated flu like COVID, and every single instance of flu, when someone died with it, that became a flu death. What would have happened? And you get COVID-like numbers looking back then. And then finally, we can look at the place of death data and see where things are changing and determine that something's going on there, too. For example, nursing home deaths are way up, but the place of death is the actual nursing home, which means someone is in a nursing home and they have COVID And the decision is made, sadly, but the decision is made not to send them to a hospital. And what does that mean? That means that they're looking at a case of someone who's passing, who has COVID, but they're not even going to fight it, which means that person was in a very frail condition. And I found studies, there's a study out of Sweden saying that people who die at nursing homes or in their own homes, 95% of them were in a state of extreme frailty. So COVID wasn't really the cause of death there. It might have been a factor that pushed them, but they're in a bad situation to begin with. So those four ways all come together and say that the deaths that the CDC is attributing to COVID are about twice as much as they should be. And the Federalist article mostly concentrated on the CDC data and how they changed the data. And then it also looked at the excess deaths, some of the sources of those.
Okay, I wanted to go back to a couple of things. So you said the place of death, the nursing home deaths, and I thought I heard you say that nursing home deaths were up. So me, being just a layperson, I'm thinking, okay, if that's a higher number, then COVID has been contributing to more deaths. Explain that to me, Carl.
Yes, this isn't nursing home residents' deaths. This is people actually dying in the nursing home. So COVID is a slow process. It's when you first get symptoms to before you get any respiratory distress, like a serious breathing problem, it's usually 8 to 10 days after infection. And an ICU admission is usually 9 to 12 days afterwards. And then there's time in the ICU. And I think the mean time to death is like two to three weeks. So COVID is a slow process when you get it. So you have to think, if you're a nursing home resident and you start to get COVID, there's options there, right? You can be treated there, or that eventually, if it gets bad and they're going to attempt to save you from COVID, you're going to go to a hospital. You're not going to just sit there and try to do the full gamut of COVID treatment, whether it's the COVID drugs that need an IV or whether it's a respirator. If you get to that point, you're not going to do that in a nursing home. So when someone dies with COVID in a nursing home, I maintain that that is someone where there was a conscious decision made to not fight the COVID, which means that that person was frail. And I mean, the median time that someone spends in a nursing home before death is on the order of 5 months. So nursing home people are generally, you know, frankly, it's where people go to spend the last days of their lives often. And so when you don't try to help someone with COVID, there's a conscious decision that that person was frail to begin with. And in the past, the CDC has not said, if you die with COVID in that situation, or if you die with the flu in that situation, post flu death. No, they're going to say the reason that you died was the reason that you were in that frail state in the beginning.
Go ahead.
Well, like I said, it's totally fair to say that that's a COVID death in a way, because although they were very frail, COVID pushed them over the edge, and it's fair to say that. But when we never did that with flu, then you have this inequality there where you're contributing COVID deaths in a way that's different than flu deaths.
Okay.
And that's why I said earlier, if you did the same with flu, you would have gotten the massive numbers we have with COVID.
Okay. Now, a couple of things. First of all, it's astonishing that when we know that there's treatments there, that as you've been looking at this data, that you said that this is a longer process with COVID, it's just a bit astonishing here in America that there wouldn't be some effort at some treatment for these people. What do you think, Carl?
I think that the COVID, the ages of people who die from COVID, when you graph them, very closely match the ages of death of people in general. And that's a sign that COVID is taking the people that are sadly ill or in bad health, and it's pushing them a little bit further across the spectrum. It's not like the normal flu where there can have a really significant number of young people. It's not like the Spanish flu, whose median death age was in the 20s, which is just a horrible, horrible thing to think about. COVID's median death range is, depending on what state, is in the 70s or 80s and closely matches the natural death range, the death age. So what's happening is, like I said, and the place of death points this out, is that these are people that are already, many, many times, these are people that are already frail. And sadly, it's not going to take much. And, you know, if a healthy person gets COVID and we give them the monoclonal antibodies or remdesivir or any of the other treatments we can do early, they'll respond quickly. But if you're already in a bad condition where they're not even going to take you to a hospital when you get COVID, there's just not much we can do about it, sadly.
Wow. I have another question. Carl, let's go to break, but I wonder, because Jill had mentioned the Great Reset regarding this whole global socialism, but they reset the flu numbers every year. Are we going to have a reset on COVID numbers, or are they just going to keep adding and adding and adding to that number just to continue to scare people significantly? So let's go to break. We'll leave that question out there for Carl Dierenbach. And be sure and check out The Federalist, where many of his pieces are being published. And he's also done this deep dive, significant analysis of the data. So let's go to break. Before we do that, though, another great partner of mine is Castlegate Knife and Tool. And they are located in Sedalia, Colorado. I love Sedalia. It's such a great little taste of Americana. It's on 85, just south of Littleton as you're headed towards Castle Rock. And they are in an old bank building. And again, I say it's really fun to go down to Sedalia. But it is a super interesting retail establishment, and they have knives from all of the best blade makers from throughout the world. So as you are looking at either something new for the kitchen, or you're a sportsman or a collector, check out castlegate.com. And they just have gotten everything updated, their website. That's castlegate.com. So be sure and check that out. This is Kim Munson. We'll be right back with Carl Dierenbach.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, kimmunson.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming op-eds, our most recent podcasts. Then those all go over to the website. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. On the line with me is Carl Dierenbach, and he is an engineer turned attorney living outside Denver, Colorado. He's a contributor to the book Unmasked 2020, Colorado's Radical Left Turn and a Warning to America. And he is also a member of RationalGround.com, which is a group dedicated to gathering, analyzing, and disseminating information on COVID-19. This is a Herculean effort that you are doing as you go through all of this data. Carl Dierenbach, first of all, I want to say thank you for doing that, because we want to search for truth. And one of the ways to do that is to really look at these numbers.
Yes, it's true. truth is the ultimate goal, because if we I'm getting a lot of feedback there. If we have better data, we can make better decisions.
I just had a little technical difficulty. Am I back on? Okay. I've got this great little system. I'm broadcasting from home this morning, and I just looked over, and it said failed. So I'll need both of you to, I guess I'll just jump in here and put this back here. Carl, the question that I had on the table before we went to break was, will there be a reset of these COVID numbers, or are they just going to continue to add that, which just increases the fear among the American population?
That is a great point. That is a great point, Kim, because COVID is clearly seasonal all throughout the northern latitudes. In Colorado, in Europe, in all the northern states, COVID hit us, and then it waned in the summer. And everywhere, people were taking credit for lockdowns causing that. And it was just, literally, it was just summer, because it happened in countries that did lockdown, it happened in countries that didn't lockdown. And then when this winter came along, COVID just hit hard everywhere. Places like Germany, where everyone was praising Germany because they had done it right, and no one, and they had low deaths and low number of cases. They were being praised. But when September, October, November came around, Germany got hit, just like everyone else. And it's clear, it's absolutely clear that COVID is a seasonal disease. And so we should treat those numbers seasonally like we do with the flu. Otherwise, like you said earlier, it seems like it's just a campaign to scare, because literally, if we added every flu disease season over season, and we could go back 100 years and say flu has killed 100 million people. You factor in Spanish flu and all the epidemics, I mean, all the serious flu seasons that we've seen for the last 100 years. But no one would do that, because that's ridiculous. And COVID should be treated the same way. And again, it's so we can compare it to diseases that we know, like the flu, and then we can make a rational examination of the risks that it entails. But if you do like we're doing, and you just keep adding it season over season, then you get these inflated numbers, and that supports radical interventions. You know, they'll use those high numbers to support radical intervention when it's really not unwarranted. We need to look at it like the flu, so that we can compare it to a risk that we're used to, the flu. And if you look at it that way, the numbers are about twice as bad as the worst flu season ever. And so you got to think about that and say to yourself, well, if you knew this year was going to be a flu season twice as bad, would you shut down the economy, deny kids education, lock seniors in their home? Of course you wouldn't. But these inflated numbers support those radical interventions. That was a great observation by you.
So the question on the table is, the CDC going to treat this like the flu, or do you think that they're going to just continue to add and add and add to these numbers?
I see no sign that they're letting up. I see a lot of people talking about numbers and starting it to compare more to the flu. An interesting thing about this season, which basically has baffled a lot of people, is that there is no flu. There's almost no flu. No flu in Colorado. There was no flu in the southern hemisphere in the summer. There's almost no flu in Europe. So a lot of people are saying, hey, wait a second. If we're going to look at COVID, particularly hospitalizations, and say this is so bad, we have to compare it to a normal year. And a normal year would have been a flu year. And there's a lot of places that have a lot of COVID, but the COVID is basically just replacing what they would typically see when they have a lot of flu. So there are people rumbling about that, but I have seen nothing from the CDC that says they're going to back off their stance that every COVID death ever just goes into this huge rolling total.
Okay, Carl, the next thing is I become skeptical. And when somebody doesn't tell you the truth once, what do they say? Shame on you. But when they don't tell me the truth twice, then it's shame on me. And regarding these COVID deaths, we have seen, and I do know firsthand, that the CDC has taken deaths that were probably was caused by something else, and they're calling it a COVID death. We've heard the story, I think, of a motorcyclist that died in Southwest Colorado from injuries from an accident, and they call that a COVID death. There was a murder-suicide up in Grand County. So gunshots was was involved, but they call that a COVID death. And I have to say, now, wait a minute. I'm not sure I can trust your data. Just to, and I haven't done the deep dive that you've done, Carl, but just a layperson, it's like, now, hold on. You have these numbers that you're out there just scaring the living daylights out of people. And I'm not sure that I can trust them just from that anecdotal information that I'm giving. But you're doing the deep dive. Your thoughts on that, Carl?
Yeah, there are three different, it's a little complicated, but there are basically three different things here. One, there is death certificate data. And death certificates have a part one and a part two where you write down the conditions that the patient had. Part one is a string of events from the root underlying cause to the actual cause of death. So it is the underlying cause. It is the main reason why someone has died. And so, like, if you had a heart attack would go into cause one. Now, if at the time you had high blood pressure and you've been living with that for a couple of years and the doctor makes a determination that contributed to the heart attack, the blood pressure will go into part two of it as a contributing factor. So the heart attack would be in part one, and some other ailment that contributed but was not a direct cause would be in part two. They do that so that they can monitor diseases, right? Because you want to know, like if someone with diabetes, if diabetes is contributing to a lot of deaths, you want to know that. So it's a reasonable system. In the past, when the CDC calls something a death, it just takes it from part one, that underlying cause. Now, if COVID is in part two, they'll start to add that in, and they'll call that a COVID death. And that itself has been a huge number from, an examination of Florida death certificates looked at like 10%. A recent examination of Minnesota, death certificates performed by their legislature found that like 40% of deaths listed as COVID were actually listed in part two. And in Colorado, that number is about 10%. So right off the top, there's number, you could just take those numbers off and say, if you want to try to assess the risk of COVID relative to the flu, you've just got to eliminate all those COVID deaths because they are not what we classically call a death caused by COVID. And then in Colorado also tracks with COVID, which means they'll dig of that bigger number, that 5,000 number, and this was that gunshot case. They'll give that number of people who died with COVID, and that means COVID did not appear on a death certificate, but the patient had COVID at the time. And so you get even that hyperinflated number of 5,000 deaths in Colorado, and there's a good, I didn't look at the numbers this morning, but there's a good 800 to 1,000 deaths that were with COVID, where COVID never even got onto the death certificate. You know, we plaster that on our website. And it just seems to be like a fear-pushing way of presenting data.
Well, and then you've got the governor, kind of that goofy color dial thing, and that they're basing that on what data, if you will. But now what you're telling me is they're using inflated data. Carl, this has been absolutely fascinating. We have 2 minutes left. What's the final thing you want to make sure our listeners know this morning, the final takeaway?
People like me, people that look at the data, we don't think COVID is a hoax. We know COVID is out there. We know it's real. We just think the way we're accounting for it is causing panic, and that panic is a huge source of problems in society. It's a short-term problem in that we've scared people away from emergency rooms nationwide. That's tens of thousands of deaths. We've abandoned seniors and accelerated their Alzheimer's cases. We've seen 30,000 excess Alzheimer's cases. We're hurting our children by not educating them. We're scaring them by putting them on masks and treating them, having kids treat each other like they're deadly pathogen carriers, and they have to stay away and they have to stay muzzled. And it all comes down to we're looking at this wrong. We've changed the way we looked at it so that COVID looks worse than it is. It's bad, but it's not as bad as they portray. And it is just harming our society to react to it like this.
Carl Dierenbach, I am so grateful that you are diving into this. And people can find you at The Federalist. Where else can people find your information?
Well, I say at Twitter, I'm at Dierenbach, it's D-I-E-R-E-N-B-A-C-H, but I don't know how long that's going to last, because Twitter is not the friendliest place to people who don't toe the line. So I'm also at Dierenbach on Gab and Parler when they come back up.
Okay, and I heard this, Gab, that's the first time I heard of that yesterday, so be sure and check that out. So that is, one more time, very quickly, at Gab.
At Dierenbach.
Okay,
yeah,
very good.
D-I-E-R-E-N-B-A-C-H. Thank you.
Okay. Carl, thanks so much. We'll stay in touch.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay. And our quote for today is from Jimmy V. He said, "Nothing has ever been accomplished in any walk of life without enthusiasm, without motivation, and without perseverance." Today, my friends, be grateful. Read great books. Think good thoughts. Listen to beautiful music. Communicate and listen well. Live honestly and authentically. Strive for high ideals. And like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. You are not alone. My friends, God bless you, and God bless America.